This week's shir, Parshas Vayechi, sponsored by the Weinblatt family of Ramah Beit Shemesh, Lubli Nishmas, Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. Final Parsha of the Sefer Bereishis begins, Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim, Shva Asrei Shana, V'im Yemei Yaakov Shnei Chayav, Sheva Shanim Arbim Ma'as Shana. Yaakov Mitzrayim, 17 years, and the days of Yaakov's life was 147. The question is, what are these two words, Shnei Chayav, or extra? Could have just said, Behi Yimei Yaakov, Sheva Shanim Arbaim Yimei Shana. What do you have to say, Shnei Chayav, the years of his life? What seems extra? Find another place where also we find these extra words when it comes to relating the years of the person's life, and that's by Adam Arishan. Says Vayu Kol Yemei Adam Asher Chai, and all the days of Adam Asher Chai that he lived was 930. Again, when you say Asher Chai, now of course the days that of his life is when he lived, not when he died. So of course Asher Chai. So the common denominator between Yaakov and Adam Arishan is that both of them were supposed to live longer than they did. And therefore, that's why we have the Yitur in both Psukim. Adam Arishan, as we know, is supposed to live to be 1,000. And he died 70 years early, at 930, because he gave 70 years of his life to David HaMelech. And so too, Yaakov Avinu was really supposed to live another 33 years. He lived 147. He should have lived like his father did, 180 years. So he died 33 years early. Says the Balaturim here, why? Why did he die young? So he says, because of the klala that he gave. Remember when he ran after Yaakov and his family, and he claimed that they stole his trafim, and Yaakov Avinu said, he made a statement, he said, no, we don't have your trafim. He said, Im asher timtzas Elohecha lo yichyeh. He said, whoever you find your idols by somebody, your God by somebody, that person will die. Okay? Lo yichyeh, he won't live. And, of course, Rachel had them. And even though he didn't know about it, whatever, still, since he was Mekalel, his wife, Rachel, so Hashem punished him, and he lost 33 years. What's the significance of 33? Because the word, lo yichyeh, he said in the pasuk, "Ima shera timtzas alohecha lo yichyeh, yichyeh in gematria is 33." Since he was punished for giving that klal of lo yichyeh, 33, so he lost 33 years of his life. Next pasuk says, "Vikrevu yemei Yisrael amus," is getting close to death. "Vikrel even though Yisrael vikalis on Yosef v'yomerlo imna matzasichen beinecha." If I found favor in your eye, simna yadcha tachas yirichi. Put your hand underneath my thigh. Vasisay medi chesed ve'emes, and do for me a chesed and an emes. I'll not take me from Mitzrayim. Don't bury me in Mitzrayim. The Mari Asad has an interesting idea here. A couple of small introductions first. We know that a yerech is, Chazal say that a yerech is, symbolizes the Torah. We have the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Chamukei Yerechayich, right? That Chazal say that just like the thigh is something hidden, so too the Torah is something beseitzer. Divrei Torah is beseitzer. So we see that Yerech represents the Torah. Yad is representative of Saka, right? As we see the pasuk, Patoach Tiftach Es Yadcha, open up your hand. Staka refers to hand, refers to Staka. Also Emes. Another kinui for the Torah, Torah's Emes. And Chesed is another kinui for Tzedakah. Chesed is also Tzedakah. Okay, now putting everything together. Yaakov Avinu is coming towards his death, and he started making a cheshbon nefesh. He says, you know, my whole life Torah has been a very strong by me. You know, he's Yoshev O'alim, he's like, Torah's very strong. However, think, you know, as far as chesed goes, I don't know, I could have been maybe a little bit better in chesed. I was busy learning the whole time. I don't know how much chesed I did. So he's a little bit on the weak side, let's say, in his chesed he fell. And then he thought of his son Yosef. It's the opposite. Right? Yosef, who am I spear? Chesed? Well, he's the ultimate Baal chesed. He fed the whole world, you know, in Mitzrayim. So he's the chesed, he's the ultimate chesed. Torah, okay, but he was coveting on Torah also, but he was so busy with Chesed, perhaps had a little weakness in the Torah aspect. So Mele, Yaakov said, this is a wonderful shutfus, like Yisachar v'Zvulun. You know, he's the Chesed, I'm the Torah, and we'll put it together. We got a great, great team. Ah, so Mele, that's, you can touch the pasuk, says Maria said. The Yaakov Venu made this, he called Yosef, and he said, hey, listen. Yad, we said, is a kinui for tztaka, right? So put your hand, since you're Baal Chesed, about tztaka, put your hand, tachas yerechi, yerech, we said, is the Torah. Put your hand with my Torah, and we got a good partnership going. As it says, v'asisa imadi chesed v'emes. And if you do that, then we got good team. We got chesed, you're the chesed and emes, I'm Taurus emes, and we got a great Yisachar Zvulun going. While on the topic of Yisachar and Zvulun, the Gemara says in Yoma, on the Pasuk in Mishle, Aleichem Ishim Ekra, simply translated as to you men, I call to men. Ishim elashin ish, men I call. So the Gemara says over there, Amar Abrachia, Elu Talmidei Chachamim. This pasuk refers to Talmidei Chachamim, Shadomim lanashim, that they are similar to women. Vosim gvura kaanashim, they're like women, but they do gvura like men do. What does that mean? Explains the Ben Yoyada, he says that a man is represents a mashpia, one that gives, right? He's the giver. Whereas the woman is the one that's the mushpat, she accepts, he's the receiver. Okay, and therefore the man goes out, works, brings home the parnasa, and gives it to the woman who accepts it. Ah. So Mele, Talmidei Chachamim, says Ben Yoyada, it's they're like nashim. Meaning, they appear domim lanashim. They look like a woman. Just like a woman is a makabel. So the Talmud Chacham looks like a makabel. Meaning that he's being supported. So it looks like he's being supported by these, you know, people that support Torah. And he's being supported. It's like the woman is being supported. She doesn't go out to work. The husband works, brings on a parnas, and she's being supported. So too, the Talmud Chacham is, it look, domim kenashim, looks like a woman is being supported. But what's the emes? It looks like that. But osim gvura ka'anashim. But really, they're lehefech. They look like the woman, but they're really osim gvura. They're really supporting the ones that are supporting them, right? Because the people learning Torah, they're giving kium to the people supporting to the whole world. So they look like on the surface like nashim, but really they're really like anashim. That's the famous story. Lef likes to quote a lot with the. Say it very briefly, therefore, so you've all heard it, with the Rabbi Eliezer, and he tells, right, that after he got married, so his father-in-law, like they did, used to do in those days, the couple would stay by the parents, or the in-laws, whatever, and they would support them while they're learning, while the son-in-law's learning. So he was doing so, and as time went on, his family started growing a little bit, and he started getting offers for Rabbanus in different places, and he thought maybe it's time to leave. So he went to his father-in-law and told, maybe I got this offer, that offer. And time again, the father-in-law would say, no, please stay. If you want more money, I'll give you more money. Whatever it is, just stay. He wouldn't let him go. And eventually that got to a point where, got a little bit difficult, and the Rebbetzin was saying, maybe we should let them go. How long can we support them? And he answered back to her, he says, listen, I don't know who's supporting who. His comment. So after that, he got an offer to be the Rebbe of Telz. And so now they put pressure on the father-in-law, and he says, okay, fine, I'm not going to stop you, you can go. And he accepted the job to be the Rebbe of Telz, and they came with the horses and buggies, whatever, to take him away. And no sooner did they leave, the father-in-law was nifter. And then his Rebbetzin afterwards gave a hesped, and she said, I killed you, I murdered you, she said about her husband. She said, I murdered you. She says, why? Because you said, I said, hey, how long can we support them? You said, I don't know who's supporting who. right? By his learning, he was supporting us, and by me, you know, convincing you to sending them away, I killed you. Right? You were right; they were supporting us. That's the appears that they're like being supported, but lemaisa they are the ones doing the supporting. Okay. Says it in the pasuk that Yosef came in Perek Memches pasuk Yud Gimel. Yosef came and he brought his sons to get a bracha from Yaakov. Yikach Yosef shnehem, his two sons, Ephraim bimino mismol Yisrael, ves Menashe bismalo mimin Yisrael, v'yikashela. Okay, so Yosef comes, brings his two sons to get a bracha, his older son Menashe, younger son Ephraim, and he sets them up opposite his father, so that his father's right hand will be opposite the Bechor, Menashe, and his left hand will be opposite the younger son, Ephraim. It's accordingly, so the older son, the Bechor, should get the Iker Bracha from the right hand, etc. And famous words, Vayishach Yisrael, Yimino, Vayashad al-Rosh Ephraim, Vatsayir, Vesmosmal al-Rosh Menashe, Sikel, Isyadav, Kibenashe Bechor. So Yaakov had a different plan, and he crossed his arms, he took his right arm, put on Ephraim, and his left arm on the Menashe, and changed around the order. So, question that is asked, if in fact he wanted to give the Iker Bracha to Ephraim, why did he have to, you know, contort his arms and it's not very comfortable? Much easier just to switch the boys around. You say, can you please stand over here and, you know, make it easier than to go like that. You know, it's hard to give a bracha that way. So why did he change it? So the simple pshat they give is because it would be too much of a bizayin, you know, to take the Bechor, move over here, and it would be a bizayin for him. So therefore he just left the mezir and he just changed his arm. Simple pshat. Chaim Volozhin, however, is a different idea. Based on the Pasuk says in Mishle, Kamayim apanim lapanim kein lev ha'adam la'adam. That just like the a water reflects one face, you look inside the water, you see a reflection like a mirror. So just like kamayim apanim lapanim, so too lev adam ladam simple pshat is that when a person, what you have in your heart reflects. So if you, you know, love a certain person, you feel for him in your heart, that'll reflect and that reflect back at you, just like the mirror reflects, and he'll like you, he'll love you, etc., and vice versa. It's a cute maisa to bring to say to Mashal, I guess, to bring out this idea. There was once a farmer or whatever lived in the sticks. He never saw the big city. He didn't know what went on. And he heard there's something called a hotel and this fancy place. This and that. So he always wanted to go visit. So he saved up his money and finally he makes his visit to the big city and he has reservations in this hotel. And he goes in, and the guy at the desk says, fine, signs him in, says, here, gives him the keys, you're on the second floor, whatever, such such a room. So he goes upstairs, comes back a few minutes later, he's all upset. Comes back to the manager of the hotel, and he says, what kind of a place is this? And he says, what's wrong? He says, I went up to my room, I'm going in the hallway, and there's some guy following me. And he just, like, angry look at his face, and like, you know, mean look on his face. And he's following me around with his look on his face, and mean, and angry. And I couldn't get away from the guy, and what kind of a hotel you have over here anyway? So he comes, so the hotel's like, I don't understand. He says, there's nobody else on that floor, you're the only one, there's nobody there. He goes, what do you mean over there? I'm telling you. Anyways, it's back and forth. Finally, hotel owner realized what's going on. See, this guy, the farmer, he never in his life saw a mirror. Okay, and it was a fancy hotel. The walls had, you know, mirrors, all everyone's mirrors. So he was looking at himself. Okay, this guy with a mean look on his face was himself. So he picked up on it and he goes, ah. So he said to the guy, you said it. I understand. Let me tell you something. You don't understand, we have a minhag here in this town. Now maybe that's why. He goes, what is that? He says, well, the minhag is here that with any face a person, you know, does to you, you're supposed to do back to him. Okay? So if you have a grouchy look on your face, he'll give you grouchy, people will see you, he'll give you back a grouchy look. You have a smile on your face, he'll give you back a smile. So that's just, so try it. I was, oh yeah. So he goes upstairs with a smile on his face this time. And then he comes back down and he goes, yeah, you're right. Oh, wonderful place. It's true. It really worked. And now the guy's lurking at me and he's smiling. He goes, yeah, I told you. So that's the Kamayim Apanim. Apanim Kein Leva Anuman. Anyways, Rav Chaim Volozhin, he says a beautiful idea. He says that, and to explain this pasuk also, he says that when a person is standing opposite you, standing opposite you, so your right hand is against his what? His left hand, right? And your left hand is against his right. He says, unfortunately, the nature of people are that your right hand, which represents strength, right, is opposite left represents weakness. So the way people are is they attack with all their strength the other person's weakness, their neighbor's weakness, right? It's, you got this problem, you got that problem, you don't do this, you don't do that. They look to criticize the other person, find all their weaknesses, and they attack with their right, their weaknesses. Their left hand is against their neighbors across the, opposite them, their right, meaning their strengths. And instead of, bringing out their strength, they belittle, not so smart as he says he is, he belittles, his left hand is weak, he brings down that person's right, his strengths. He says, of course, that's not the way to do it, right? The way to do it is you're supposed to use your right and to bring out the other person's strength and compliment them and show how great he is. Use your right to bring out his right, his strength, and use your left, the weakness, to bring out, it's not so bad. Even his weaknesses are not so bad. Use your left against his weaknesses. So he says, where do we find that even though you're looking at, you're standing opposite somebody, but your right is his right and left is his left? That's in a mirror, or reflection, water, mirror, whatever. There, you look in a mirror, you pick up your right hand, and in the mirror is you picking up, that's this, also the right hand being picked up, right? So only when you look in reflection is the right. Memele, that's what the Shlomo Melech was teaching us in this pasuk. How should you treat your fellow man? Like a reflection, like water, mirror, right? That your right should be connected to that person's right. Bring out his smiles with your right hand. Bring it with your strength. And his thronos, his weaknesses, deal with him with your left hand. Don't bring it out. Memele, that's idea of the pasuk wants to say that's also we can explain why Yaakov Avinu here didn't want to change the boys around. Why? Because as their hands standing, you're now opposite them. The right is against the left. Left is against the right. So he changed his hands to say that's how you have to deal with people. Even the person's opposite, you don't have right against left, left against right. But cross, you're crossing your hands. So your right should be against their right, and your left against their left. As we said before, Derech Agav, there's a very interesting gra on a midrash plia on this pasuk, right? The pasuk again, kamayim apanim lapanim keleva adam lada. So the midrash asks, why does the pasuk tafka say kamayim apanim lapanim? Why is the pasuk tafka use the example of water? Why doesn't it use wine? Asked the midrash. So the midrash plia says, why it doesn't use wine? Because it has an extra vav. Now go figure that out, right? It doesn't say wine because wine has an extra vav in it. Where is the extra vav? Yud, yud, nun. There's no vav in wine. So that's the midrash plia. So says the gra, the answer is as follows, right? Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet, right, has a gematria, but each letter you can spell out, and it has the nigla, which is the first letter, and the nister, the rest letters. For example, aleph, right, first letter aleph. So aleph, you can spell it aleph lamed pe aleph. So the nigla is the first letter aleph. That happens to have a gematria of, let's say, one, and the nister, the hidden letters, are the lamed pe, and that would be 30 and 80, 110. Okay, so That's we have the nigla and the nister. So some letters nigla is more than the nister. For example, let's say the letter taf. So the nigla is taf, is 400. The nister is yud vav, 16. So here we have the nigla, the first letter is more than the hidden letters. Some letters are the opposite. Let's say base. Letter base. Base yud taf, you spell it. So the nigla is base, it's only two. The nigla is 410. So the nistar is more than the nigla. However, we have other letters which are exactly even. Exactly even. The nigla and the nistar are the same. Okay, and the famous word, I'm sure you've heard many times, that's the gra says with the word siyum. right? That the word Sim, Samech Yud, Vav Mem, all those letters have the Nigla and the Nistar the same, right? Samech, you spell Samech Mem Chav Sofit. So the Nigla is Samech, 60, and Mem and Chav Sofit is 40 and 20 is also 60. Right, Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet. Yud is 10, and Vav Dalet, 6 and 4 is 10. And Vav is Vav Vav, and Mem is Mem Mem. So all the letters of Siyum didn't get in this story. So it shows that even though you didn't necessarily learn the Masechet, but you were joined into, you can still join into the Siyum. That the Niglin and Nister, they're all the same when it comes to a Siyum. Amen's war. So now let's go back. So Mayim, okay, the word Mayim is spelled Mem Yud Mem. All those three letters, the nigla is the same as the nister, right? Mem is mem mem. Yud, we said, is yud vav dalet. Is also yud and vav dalet the same? And mem again, mem mem. So all the three letters are the same. Now, what about yayin? How do you spell yayin? Yud yud nun sofit. So yud, very good. Also the same. Nigla and nister the same, right? Yud is yud vav dalet. Yud second yud, same thing. Yud vav dalet. Ah, where does the problem come in? The nun. How do you spell nun? Nun vav nun. So the nigla is nun, the nister is vav nun. So we have an extra vav. So Mele says the midrash, why is it that it says kamayim apanim lapanim, why dafka, water, why not wine? Says the midrash, because the wine has an extra vav. Because the nister of the nun is nun vav nun, has the extra vav in the nister. Mele, since we're trying to bring out here, kamayim apanim lapanim, kein leva adam ladam, the reflection, right, the kamayim apanim, the nigla is the same as the nister, leva adam, which is a nister. We want to bring an example of something that the nigla and nister are the same. Therefore we bring mayim and not yayin, because yayin is not, the nigla and nister is not the same. The nister has an extra vav. Alright. The pasuk in Memches pasuk Chaf says Vayarachim b'yom ahu lemor, and he gave them a bracha that day, saying B'chayi yivarech Yisrael lemor, and in you Yisrael will have a bracha Yisimcha lukim kefraim lechenasha v'yasem es efraim lifnei menasha. So we're familiar with the bracha Yisimcha lukim kefraim menasha. We give our kids every Friday night. So, first of all, one question is asked, why do we give a bracha of, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh, you know, who are Yosef's kids? Why not say Reuven and Shimon? You know, they're the Shiftei Ka. Say, we should say Yisimcha Lukim ke Reuven and Shimon, not Ephraim and Manasseh. I mean, they're a generation later. So Reuven Karelenstein Shlita says, and we're all familiar with the concept called Yeridas Hadoros, right? That every door gets less and less. However, Yaakovinu said, Ephraim u'Menashe, kiruvein v'shimon yuli. That Ephraim and Menashe, they're to me like Reuven and Shimon. They're like on par, like the same. Mele, what does that represent? No Yeridas Hadoros. That even though they were a generation later, right, that Ephraim and Menashe were like Reuven and Shimon. Mele, that's the bracha we give the kids, that alavai, we shouldn't have Yeridas Hadoros. That's why we use Ephraim and Menashe. The interesting question they ask, though, is why Lechura, we give this bracha, we're saying this pasuk with, and we're breaking a pasuk in the middle, right? We say Yisimchaka. That's not a whole pasuk. The whole pasuk is, as we said, Yivarchem b'yamahu leimor b'chay v'rechetel leimor Yisimcha Elohim k'Ephraim v'chanash v'chashem Ephraim v'neim Yisha. That's the pasuk. So we know the Gemara Megillah says that any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break up, we're not allowed to break up. You can't just say a part of a pasuk. So how is it that when we're giving a bracha to the kids, we're saying part of a pasuk? You say, I'm giving Ephraim and Asher. So that's part of a pasuk. We're breaking up a pasuk. How do we have a right to do such a thing? So it's a very interesting shot. It says, the Gemara in Chulin says, brings the pasuk, Shlomo Melech said, Lech el nemala atzel. Check out the ant, you lazy person. That an ant doesn't have asher ein la katzin, shoter, or moshel. Think an ant has nobody watching over it, no king, no leader, no one. And yet it goes and it gathers tachin, bekaitz, lachman, gathers all its for the whole, for the much more produce it ever can many lifetimes over, and it's gathering for it, so it doesn't need, and it's very zariz, right? And so you should be like you lazy person should be like an ant, be zariz. So the Gemara relates story with Rav Misharshia, that he wanted to test this out, you know, do an experiment. It says in the, you know, that the ant has no Moshel, Katsina, whatever. He says, I want to see. Is it really true? So what did he do? Moore says he went to an ant hole. Right? Now, when the sun is beating down on the ant hole, the ants don't come out. Right? That's with the sun beating down. So he took his coat and he put it over the ant hole to create shade. And then, sure enough, one ant makes its way out. He grabs the ant. He ties a little ribbon on it. I don't know how he did that, but he ties a little ribbon on the ant, and then he puts it back down, and the ant goes back into the hole. And he patiently waits a little bit, waits. Sure enough, all of a sudden, the ants start coming out. Right? Ants come marching one by one, you know, leaving the ant hole, because now, obviously, this ant told them that it's shady out, we can come out now. So all of a sudden, the ants start coming out, at which point, Rav Misharshia took away his coat. The sun is again beating down on a thing, and all of a sudden he sees all the ants gang up on that one ant with the ribbon on it that went in and told them that the coast is clear, it's shady, and now it's not shady, and they all attacked this one ant and they killed it. So he said, ah, you see, Shlomo Melech was right? The ant doesn't have a shoter, and you see that? Why? Because if it had a somebody in charge, a queen ant or king ant or whatever, they would bring it to trial. And they did it. They just attacked and killed it on the spot. No trial. So obviously they have no katsin, mochel. Fine. So that's the Gemara. So they asked the question. Actually, Tosus asked the question. Tosus says, wait a second. There's another Gemara, which you're familiar with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was giving a shir, and he said that in the future, there's going to be these huge, huge diamonds that are going to be placed in the Shari Yushalayim, in the gates of Yushalayim. Huge, I know, the size, you know, of the gates. So one of the Talmidim heard this, and he said, he was made fun. He goes, you know, you can't find a diamond the size of a big egg. You're going to find the size of a thing. That can't be. It's ridiculous. He must be exaggerating, whatever. Okay, and then the Talmid happened to be going on a trip, Moore says, and he was on a boat, and then he sees this vision in Shemayim of these angels carving out these huge diamonds. So he said to the angels, hey, what are you doing with these diamonds? They said, well, we're carving it out for the base of Migdash. We're using it for the gates of the base of Migdash. He goes, wow, I don't believe it, it's true. So he comes back from his trip, he goes to Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Rabbi Yochanan, he says, you're right, I saw it with my own eyes, they really are making these. So he says, what? And if you didn't see it, you wouldn't have believed it? You know, I told you it was going to be, you didn't believe it? So the Gemara says, he looked at him, put his eyes on him, and he turned into a heap of bones, killed him. So Frank Tosfos, so what's going on over here? He didn't believe that Rabbi Yochanan was a thing, and he says, you don't believe it? You know, you have to go, you have to see it with your own eyes. How come Rabbi Misharshia? He didn't believe it. Shlomo Melech said that the ant doesn't have a katsina moshel. Finish, it's true. What, I have to go see, I don't believe it. So, you know, how could Rabbi Misharshia go, you know, check it out? Well, he didn't believe it, right? Let me see what happens, you don't believe it. How can he not believe it? Shlomo Melech said. So Tosfos tries to give an answer, whatever, he's trying to figure out how Shlomo Melech knew it, whatever. But Marm Shif says a very simple, Pashut answer. Says the Marm Shif, what's the difference? Says, wow, why did Rav Misharshia give himself the right to go check it out? He says, because Shlomo Melech said so. What does it say in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Leich el nimala atzel. Go to the ant, you lazy person. Check it out. You'll see. So he's allowed to check it out because he was told to check it out. You tell me to check it out, I'll go check it out. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say go check it out. He said, what's going to be? Well, the diamond, whatever. You have no right to go. You have to believe what you hear. But if you're told to go check it out, so you go check it out. May Allah submerge. So with that, the answer, that's the same thing over here. Right? It says in the, we ask, well, what right do we have to break up the pasuk over here? So they say, because Rashi says on the word lemor. What do you need the word lemor? Right? So Rashi says, Haba levarech et banav yivarchem bebirchato v'yomer ish lebano yisimcha alokim kefrayim enashe. In other words, the Torah is telling you by that word lemor, is this is how you should do it. That's how we can do it. Normally you're not allowed to break up a pasuk. But if the pasuk tells you to break it up and do it like this, okay, so the pasuk tells you. Same thing, Shlomo says, go check the answer, go check it out. Right? The pasuk says, b'chay lemor, b'chay yivarech. This is how you have to do it. This is how you do it. You say yisimcha alokim. So if I say it like that, I'm not breaking up the pasuk. I am, but the Torah is telling me to break up the pasuk. That's how I'm supposed to do the bracha. So it's fine. Nothing wrong with it. Okay. One last thing. Running out of time. So it says, Diyuk in the pasuk, beginning of Perek Mentesas, v'yikra lo Yaakov el banav v'yomer, heyasvu v'gidu lachem es asher yikra eschem b'achris ha'yamim. So Yaakov called the sons and he says, gather together and I'll tell you, es asher yikra eschem b'achris ha'yamim. So how do you translate asher yikra eschem? So you say, well, what's going to happen to you? Only one problem. Yikra, happen, you spell yud kuf resh hey. And here is spelled yud kuf resh aleph. So it doesn't mean what's going to happen. So what is yikra? Kara means to call. So what is that supposed to mean? So he says, come and gather together, right? He has food, and I can tell you, Esa Shir Yikra Eskem, what's going to call to you, Beharis HaYomim. So the Lakute, Yalkuta Gershuni, excuse me, says that in the future, Beharis HaYomim, Hashem, which is really now, is where Yikfasad and Mashiach, Hashem calls us out and calls to us. Why is Hashem called to us? Because we should come by ourselves. Yeah, we should do what's right. And fine, but when Hashem sees that we're not doing what's right, He has to send us signals and to tell us, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. He sends us these signals, unfortunately, usually tsaras, yisurin, or whatever, to wake us up. And then we should wake up from these calls and change our ways. So that's the Asher Yikra Eschem, which you're going to be called in the future. I'm going to call out. Hashem's going to call out to us, as He does, and we have to take the sign and change our ways. Yerach Mil Kram gives a nice mashal. Says the way people act. Says, you imagine the guy takes a car, and he's driving his car, and all of a sudden he sees this red light in his panel in front of him. It's the oil light. So he goes, oh no. So he goes into the garage, and he tells the mechanic, he says, this red light came on. He goes, no problem, I'll fix it for you, no problem. He says, open your hood. Fine, opens the hood. He goes there, and he says, okay, now you stay in the car, you see, tell me when the red light goes off. Make sure, okay, the oil light goes off. He goes, okay. So he's looking at the red light. So the mechanic takes his scissors, takes a wire, cuts it, and he says, and he goes, it's off. He goes, okay, good. Closes the hood, says, you can go. He goes, how much oil are you? Nothing. Huh, nothing? You're unbelievable. Like, it's like that, 2 minutes, no money. Yeah, no problem. So, great, guy's traveling, no more oil light, and of course this old engine, falls apart, because he didn't put in the oil. Right? So that's the way we act. Because Baruch Hu's sending us these lights, right, these signs, so what if a person just takes care of the sign, cuts the wire, so you're right, it's gone, but you didn't take care of the source of the problem. You know, a person gets sick, Hashem is sending a sign. Straighten your ways, don't do that. Person, he bites his tongue or whatever, so you think about it, why is it your tongue hurting you? Maybe you spoke Lashon Hara or whatever, you're supposed to take the sign. But if you say, is it hurting me? Okay, I'll take a pill. Okay, it's gone. You just cut the wire, okay? It's not hurting you anymore, but it's there. The pain's there. There's a sign. It's a symptom that something deeper, right? You don't just. It's like cutting the wire. You're just taking the antibiotic. Good. And okay, you're better. That's not the point. I sent you this, so you should straighten your ways out. You fashvish myself. You're just cut the wire. One of my favorite stories is the Netziv. Netziv was once ill, and he never used to call doctors. He used to call a doctor. He used to have bitachon Hashem, whatever. And once he said, okay, I have to call a doctor. He says, quick, they call a doctor. The doctor examines him, this. He says, fine, okay, I see your problem. He gives him a prescription, and he hands it to him. He says, fine, the doctor pays, the doctor leaves. So he reads the prescription, he goes, very good. Takes the prescription, rips it up, and throws it in the garbage. So everybody's just saying, what are you doing? You called the doctor, you paid him good money, and they give you a prescription for your thing, and then you throw it out. What's going on? He says, you don't understand. He says, every time something hurts me, I make a hedge with a nefesh. Like we said, Hashem's calling to me, telling me a signal, something's wrong. So I always, if my foot hurts me, I think, why is my foot hurting? Oh, I didn't go to this mitzvah or whatever. I always am able to, see what I did wrong, correct it, and then the pain goes away. Because that's what the pain comes for. As it happens, this time, I wasn't feeling well, and I couldn't pinpoint exactly what the problem was. I didn't know where the source of the problem was, why I wasn't feeling well. It wasn't just my foot or my arm, it was something internal, I didn't know what it was. So I couldn't make the cheshbon to see what I did wrong so that I can correct it. So all I needed the doctor, I don't need his medicines and that, right? All I have to do is do tshuva. But I don't know what to do tshuva on. So all I needed the doctor was to tell me what's wrong. So then I said, and then I was able to figure out what it is, and then I can do tshuva and get better. So Mela, that's the Hashem calling to us. We should all hear the signals, make sure we don't cut the wires, get to the source, do tshuva, Mezrat Hashem. Through our tshuva, Maisim Tovim, we should all be zoicha to be a tzidkenu in here.